Hello and welcome back to Marriage, the Good, the Bad, the Funny. I'm Samuel Pitcher.
And I'm Sarah Pitcher.
And it is November 10th, 2019. Let's get into it. So before we get into anything, whether it be comical or serious, I broke our cardinal rule and I went out of order and you're allowing it because you like the questions.
Yep.
But before we get into that, it is, as we mentioned in our intro, November 10th, which makes tomorrow November 11th. What day is November 11th?
Veterans Day.
Veterans Day. So just taking a quick moment to remember our veterans, because it's because of those men and women that fight for us and have fought for us and continue to fight for us that make it so we are able to sit here and talk about whatever we want, whenever we want.
Yes, this is very true.
They fight for our freedoms to be terrible at making podcasts. And many, many more. So we want to thank them for their service.
Yes, thank you for your service.
So, most important things done first.
Yep.
And in order. And you, why don't you promote our Facebook page since you brought it up?
Well, yeah, but I didn't create it.
Well, it's a Facebook page. You can talk about what a Facebook page is.
So, we have a Facebook page now. If you want to like us or go on and comment. Sometimes we have polls out there. I think we've only had one so far. But that's Marriage, the Good, the Bad, the Funny on Facebook. So go ahead and find us, like us, message us, send us questions.
Tell us how much you love Sarah and can't stand my voice. See, you're good at shameless promotions.
I've learned from the best.
Oh, good. Maybe, you know, I'm moving on to having you do it because no one listens to me.
Welcome to the story of your life.
Yep, that's about the truth. Two questions.
Okay.
Question, well, yes, the first one is a question. Am I reading it to you this time?
Yes.
All right. Oh, and we were told by some of our faithful listeners offline that they do enjoy the more serious topics. So we'll still throw some humor in there, but you know, we're happy to oblige to what's being listened to and what people enjoy listening to. So this can be considered serious. I think both of them can be. First one up. You can read the next one after this. It's so easy sometimes to find fault and lay blame. What can you do in practical terms? The word practical is there. Pay attention. Not unrealistic waifu terms.
Hey.
To avoid this easy temptation in your own marriage. So are you going first?
Sure, since you read the question. So I would say, and I'm really guilty of not doing it, is to take a step back and before you lay blame, think about like, okay, is there a reason that this was or wasn't done? And try, it's all about, I think, perspective, like, oh, maybe they didn't take the trash out because when they got home, there was another mess to clean up from your pet, or you got caught up in something else. And just trying to look at it from their perspective, I think that's a practical way.
Well, you mentioned you're very guilty of this, so
yeah.
I'm hoping you're taking notes on your
Well, you advice. Know, I really... For anyone that doesn't know me, I should be in better shape than what I'm in with all the jumping to conclusions I do.
You get a lot of cardio if that was cardio.
I really would get a lot of cardio from that, but sadly it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Otherwise, we probably both would be in better shape.
Yeah, but you don't really jump to conclusions a whole lot.
No.
No, that's more my guilt.
Well, I'll find others. What else?
I don't know. Really, for me, it's more just perspective, like taking that like 10-second stop and be like, okay, what is the reason this wasn't done or this was done?
You added that part.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, because when you first said it, what wasn't done?
No, I said what was done.
Yeah, at the end there, you added that.
No, I said it to begin with.
No, the first time I didn't hear it, because... You are very, that's very true to your character.
Well, hey, that's selective hearing on your part.
What?
Exactly. Moving on. Answer the question.
Oh, I answer? Well, I was making a statement that if I had heard at first that you talked about things not getting done, like that's always what you blame me for is things not getting done. When it could be, you know, laying blame for the outcome of stuff. You know, we joke about that one comedian, I think the last time we did a podcast, where the guy said he got in trouble for his wife rear-ending a car when he was at home taking a nap. Like, she blamed him.
Yeah.
So it's easy to lay blame because nobody wants to accept that it was their fault. And everyone's looking quickly to get it onto, I mean, that's why the term scapegoat exists.
True.
You're trying to get on to the next person. But I guess the question is, what can you do in practical terms to avoid this easy temptation?
Yeah, all you've done is skirt around the topic.
Well, you know, I've tried to lay blame on the fact that I can't think of a good answer.
Exactly. Yep. See, this is why you shouldn't have let me go first.
You did take the best answer, because a lot of it is a matter of taking that moment or two to realize that there could have been a way to avoid this in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then thinking about how it could still be their fault, but it's not 100% their fault.
Well, sometimes it's just a matter of giving them the benefit of the doubt, which, again, I'm very guilty of not doing.
Well, a lot of times you're guilty by association with someone.
Huh?
And sometimes, if you look at different pieces of literature, especially, if the guy did something wrong, his whole family was punished for it.
Yeah, this is very true.
But what can you do aside from just taking a step back? I would say, practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. And that you have to gradually get into it, because it's something you can't change gears on right away. You have to practice making that effort to say, okay, I'm going to own up to how this is also my fault that this happened.
Right.
And that comes with, like you said, taking that step back. But it's just so easy and so much more fun to just blame somebody.
Well, yeah, but then when other people find out that it was actually your fault, you're like, oh no.
Ooh, what goes around comes around?
Yeah.
The truth will be found out.
Yep.
And the truth will set you free.
Well, I don't know. depends on what portion you're in. If you're the one that was originally blamed and you were innocent, yeah, the truth will set you free. But otherwise, you might be in trouble.
That's very true. Well, when you look at it, it is an easy temptation. And once again, we can't say that we've mastered.
No.
We can't say that we've mastered. Okay, well, we know not to do that anymore. You had mentioned it. I had mentioned it, that we both are guilty of passing the buck along as soon as possible.
Right.
But we know what we need to do. How do we start doing this?
I don't know. That wasn't part of the question. I didn't have time to think about that.
It's true. You know, these questions, we know the answer. We just don't know how to actually execute on it.
I don't know. I think it just comes with time. With one good thing I do have to say about these questions is they do force you to think. And then once you start talking about it, it's kind of more at the forefront, I guess you could say, of your mind. So it's just one of those things to actually really think about.
The true test will be the next time one of us gets a chance to blame the other. How fast will that finger point? Hey, and when you point at somebody, you got a few fingers pointing back at you.
You know, I didn't really realize that phrase until recently. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess you do have three fingers pointing back at you.
Yep. That's why I learned to point at people by holding my hand upside down with all my fingers outstretched. Because you get the point across that you're talking to that person and then none of it's pointing back to you. Isn't that cheeky of me?
Oh, you cheeky thing.
It doesn't change the fact that, you know, it still could be the person's fault as well.
Well, yeah.
Well, as always, we'd be happy to hear what everyone else's thoughts are. They can email us and go to that lovely Facebook page you told us about.
Yes, and send us a message.
But in the meantime, you can enjoy this next question right after this. Really good question coming up, because we have this podcast for our, you know, listeners out there, where we talk about our marriage and we talk about different aspects of marriage. And that goes so hand in hand with this next question, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, why don't you read it for us?
Oh, boy. Okay. Yes. So, If all that your single friends knew about marriage was what they saw in your relationship, what would they have to say about it? Be specific. So you answer first.
I answer first this time. Fine. Well, let's add the word they heard. So if all your single friends knew about marriage was what they saw and heard about your relationship, what would they have to say about it? Because, you know, we've gone on record saying this is a marital advice show.
How?
By saying it's not a marital advice
show. Exactly.
So of all of them, this is all they knew, what they saw, and what they heard. Well, in my opinion, I don't think we hold back at all. So I think we're two very genuine people. And they would get a true aspect about what our marriage is like. But it would be hard to say, you know, do we depict what a marriage in general looks like? We make the stereotypical jokes about, you know, she's always right, he's always wrong, and she's always pestering to do stuff, and he's always sitting on his lazy tuchus.
Well, I don't know if that's joking or if that's real life, because that really is real life.
Yes. So this is all that they saw and heard about marriage was through our relationship. And honestly, our closest group of friends right now, we have an engaged couple and couples. Yeah, we have an engaged couple. We are the only one that's married in our closest circle of friends. So we could essentially be the template of marriage. And the fact that one of them is engaged must mean we haven't scared him off too much.
Yeah, that is true.
I think they would see that marriage is not the easiest, not always fun, but it's something that you should want when you find that right person. And they see it in us in the sense that, yeah, those two can be complete opposites, but they do have enough in common to where it makes sense why they're together. And that they have fun together, but they also know that life isn't all rainbows and unicorn farts, as people would say, right?
I didn't know that people said unicorn farts.
I'm going to say they say that.
Okay.
You know, it's my template of marriage that people will do here, young lady.
On what planet?
Oh, on this question's planet.
Okay.
At least for this one.
All right, whatever.
So they would see that marriage is ups and downs. You have your good times, you have your bad times, which most people would be like, well, that's just life in general, and you're right. Marriage is part of life. You have your good times, you have your bad times. The cool thing is that you have somebody there to share it with you. Yes, there's advantages to being single. You don't have to worry about what another person thinks, their feelings, and everything like that. It becomes very easy. But the joys of marriage is that you're part of something greater than yourself and you're thinking about somebody else besides yourself. And guys like a challenge. It is a challenge keeping you happy. That's what they would see. They would see that it's a challenge. Marriage is a challenge. And are you ready to accept that challenge by looking at how we are married? That is my challenge to you.
You said challenge a lot.
Well, you know, I have to have some kind of high-level overview word that I have to drill down on over and over again.
Just stop.
Well, you... I have yet to stop that.
Okay. Well, I do have to say, I think that one thing that they could see, like, from our relationship, or marriage, I guess, in general, is just how it doesn't matter what the other person might be going through if you're there for that person. I say that to say this, like, I don't have to have my makeup done for you to think that I'm beautiful, or
you don't even wear makeup
that well, or like that. And that's just my point. Like, I don't even wear makeup half the time. If I do, you notice it. But I don't need that. And I think that that's one thing that, like, you don't always find in relationships is that there's there's not always that expectation of like you have to be on point 24/7. I mean, that's part of like those vows for richer, for poorer, and, you know, in sickness and in health. I mean, I can say that we haven't been really horribly sick, you know, the 3 years that we've been married. But when we were moving into our second apartment, remember how horribly like sick I was with the stomach virus? Mm-hmm. And I just remember like you coming in and like you held my hair, which like that, it just speaks volumes. And, you know, I can be open and talk about, you know, just things that we've done for each other in that kind of sense that you don't always see. Some people are super embarrassed when it comes to that stuff, or they can't, you know, even remotely think about cleaning up another person's mess that they might have made because they couldn't get to the bathroom in time, like either sick or something like that. And I mean, it's just that like devotion to another person that it doesn't matter, you know, if they're sick or, I don't know, help me out with
words.
With words. Like, I don't.
Well, the question, remember, is what would people learn about marriage if we were their template and that's all they could? We're their Google search for what a marriage looks like.
Well, I don't know. I honestly think, like, we're very devoted to each other.
Oh, you are my ball and chain.
Oh, will you stop? I'm trying to be sappy over here and you're just being comical.
Well, you're being what people want and I'm being what people don't want. You know, we had to keep it going with what people expect from the show. So but, people would see marriage is about devotion.
Yeah.
I say challenge, you say devotion.
Yeah.
Okay. All ties together. Mm-hmm. What else, if anything? Would they see or equate marriage to? Pictures equal marriage. Marriage equals pictures.
Sarcasm.
They would learn marriage is about lots and lots of sarcasm.
Well, like you can't take yourself too seriously.
I never knew your sarcasm was about yourself.
Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't. Well, like, okay. How about when you cut yourself? And even though I was extremely mad at you because I wanted you to go get a tetanus booster, you started talking. You're like,
oh, wait. I need to do this part?
Okay, yes. You can go ahead and do this part.
So, well, you're the medical professional. So if you cut yourself on an old piece of metal, rusty especially and dirty, what can you develop?
Tetanus.
And what do they have out there to help prevent this?
Oh, a vaccine.
Vaccines. And what's one of the symptoms if you get tetanus?
Lockjaw.
So you were really mad at me because I cut myself on a mower thing when I pulled the cord and cut myself. And you were insistent. You're like, you haven't had your tetanus shot. You're going to get lockjaw. And you're yelling at me. And then all of a sudden I go, I'll be fine. And I just like pretend like I can't move my mouth. And for one split second, you were laughing. And then you went back to being mad at me. But even in that one moment when I was like, I'll be fine.
Exactly.
I'm still proud of that. But then you went right back to being mad. So marriage is about not taking yourself seriously, devotion, and challenges.
Yep.
Boy. People would see a lot, wouldn't they?
I really do think that sums it up, though.
Yeah, I hope so. Probably could talk more and more about it, but this is a limited amount of time, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Despite how much I ramble.
Oh. Every day.
Well, you know me. But any other final thoughts on that one?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, then after this, we can move into the final question that I have found is the bonus question.
Ooh.
Ooh. So we'll be back after this. Yes, it is bonus question time.
Oh, boy.
Yes, you rolled your eyes at me when I said there was a bonus question.
Yep.
And now it's time to answer that. So whether this becomes serious or comical, I cannot tell. Could go either way. But you told us not to take ourselves too seriously, so we'll go with that.
All right, fine.
So I will ask first, because I'm sure you have a great answer for this one. What interferes most with the two of you, so us, mm-hmm, spending quality time together And then the second part is, what can you do about it? So what's interfering with our quality time together?
Your phone.
My phone?
Yes.
Okay. How so? This is your time to elaborate and answer.
Well, let me, okay. So let's answer this. What interferes with the most, let's see, it would be your phone. And what can I do about it? Delete that golf game that you like so much. And delete it from history so that you can never play it again.
Oh, boy. Just that? That's the only thing?
I mean, that's the major thing. That is really the, like, big thing. Like, I could look over at your phone. It's not iFunny. It's not, you know, like, looking at YouTube. No, it's that golf game.
I think it changes, though. It's not always a golf game. Could be a different kind of game or app.
Mm.
I think the general concept is phone.
Fine.
So what else?
Well, nothing that we could really do differently about it, but a distraction or interfering is sometimes Ralphie having to, you know, go out, do business, or, you know, coming over and saying, I need water. I mean, not literally saying I need water, but his cues.
That's still a common goal, though, at least. He's our pupper to take care of.
Well, yes. I'm just talking about, like, quality time, because we don't always have that quality time. Sometimes it's just like high and bye for the day.
Yeah. What else?
It's just sometimes finding something to like watch, because that can interfere, because then we might have differing opinions and then we get frustrated with the person that doesn't want to watch this. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, fine, I'll watch it on my own thing. Or, you know, something like that. Okay. I've answered three. You go.
I get to answer?
Yeah.
Well, I had to keep going because I think you hit on all the major points. I've mentioned it before. We've mentioned it before. That we live in a society where our attention spans to anything are getting less and less. Like, any like lengthy amount of time. Like, we just went and saw a movie that was about 2.5 hours long. It's hard to even watch a movie anymore without you wanting to, like, not you in general, but a person wanting to whip out their phone. They have to have those kinds of things saying, don't bring out your phone, don't bring out your phone, because it's so hard for us to, you know, want to make that background noise and move on to something new. And I know that when we complain, or I complain, because I do that all the time, is complain.
Yep.
Complain about, you know, if you pick up overtime at the walk-in. And that means that you'll be working 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And I'm usually done with work at around 6, so I get home around 6:30. So it means probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours before I'll see you. Additionally, if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I've been known to go on the record as complaining about that, saying, well, I want to spend time with you. But then you do make a valid point, though the way you present it doesn't always sit well with me, that what would I be doing if you were here? I'd probably be watching something with you on TV, which you could argue always watching a show, really quality time together, which you could very easily say, no, that's not quality time. Quality time is probably more or less taking care of the Ralphie who is staring at us thinking, what am I doing here right now?
Oh, no, I think he's enjoying the new bedding on the bed. Oh, okay. Here, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
That could probably be more quality time, like when we have kids, taking care of them. Yeah, we might not be like talking to each other about like specifics, but we'll be doing that common goal, versus right now it's like, yeah, we can enjoy a show together, but that might not be quality time. And like you said, if I'm going to be on my phone and you're going to be in the room, like, why not do the overtime at that point? Because essentially, when your face is in your phone, and as a society we do this in general, like, we're at a dinner table, phones, 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 like, we're in our own little world. We want to socialize, but at the same time, we want to be everywhere else at the same time because we have that fear of missing out.
FOMO.
FOMO. Fear of missing out. So what interferes? You can't blame society for everything, but I think we are getting more in that time where it's easier I mean, before you see the classic TV shows where the man's face was, what, buried in a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the woman was probably reading Cosmo or something like that. Or off doing work on her own, like on the house or something, around the house.
Oh, yes. We just wait on you hand and foot.
Yep. I was trying to think of All in the Family. Yeah, that one. But there's always been that temptation of distraction, whether it's a newspaper or a magazine or who knows what. Just that it's more accessible now. But what can be done about it? It goes back to our first question. It's something that you have to practice. You have to make a conscious effort to say, I'm going to, you know, put down the phone and pretend for a second that I'm not that important, that people can't wait, you know, an hour or two to hear from me, or that people don't need to see, you know, what I ate for dinner. I'm not an Instagrammer, so I can't relate to that one. But putting that phone down and saying, you are, because we talked about, what are we going to set the example for? One day, it's not going to be our single friends. We're setting the example for marriage. It's going to be our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I setting that example for? Or how? What example am I setting? Am I setting the example of if you're in the same room together, you're married, and that's all that matters? Or does it involve that dedication and devotion that you had mentioned to say, I'm going to put this down, and when I'm talking to you about your day, I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to make eye contact without my eyes glancing at some kind of screen or magazine or something.
Glancing. Usually they're glued on the screen, right? And you're like, what? Huh?
Exactly. Huh? So it's something you have to make a conscious effort to try to change. And it's not easy because everybody wants to. I mean, if you got a text from your mom when we're talking, it's tempting to look at it because, you know, your mom might want to, you know, hear from you about an opinion on something.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't want to keep her waiting because you think, because they don't know what you're doing. I think that's part of it too. They don't know what you're doing. Like you and I could be having a serious conversation and my parents text me. It's like, they don't know what we're doing. So you feel like you owe them an explanation more than you owe the person in front of you. Even though when we were little, we were taught it was rude to not look at the person and answer them directly or to be glancing away. But it's slowly becoming easier to, you know, be in a group of people and just talking with our faces down on our phones.
Yeah.
So it's that conscious effort as we set the example for our single friends and soon to be children and whoever else might be looking, because you don't know who's watching.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what they're writing down about it.
Yeah.
And people might think, wow, do those two even care about each other? Like, did they get married just because they had to or they felt like it'd be cool? Or do they actually have something there? Was that serious enough for us here?
I don't know.
It's going to get deep if we're not careful. But any thoughts from your end?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, as always, you did the first shameless plug. You want to tell them where they can email their questions?
Nope, that's yours.
All right. They can email their questions at marriagegbf@gmail.com or post on our Facebook page. Post on our Twitter page as well. We are not too flooded as of this, you know, podcast to not answer everyone's burning questions about our relationship or marriage topics in general. Not yet, but you can help change that. There, is that my shameless plug?
Yes.
Good. Well, on that note, three questions down, many more to go, both in this book and any questions we get at one of those fine platforms.
Mm-hmm.
But before we ramble, if you don't have anything else.
Nope.
And I don't have anything else, which is a shocker. I will call it good. And this has been Marriage, the Good,
the Bad,
the Funny. Till next time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.